Welcome to the Commercial Intelligence Briefing Podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. I'm your host, Steve Lubetkin. In this episode of the podcast, we speak with Dr. Drew Stevens. Dr. Drew has partnered with NAR Commercial on several initiatives during the past several years. He's a popular signature series speaker and the author of Split Second Selling, The Ultimate Business Bible, and six other business books on sales, customer loyalty, self-mastery, and business development solutions. Drew's presentations are humorous yet content-rich, and he has a unique method of engaging his audiences. He helps associations, organizations, and individuals dramatically accelerate revenue and outstrip their competition. He typically presents more than 40 international keynotes, seminars, and workshops each year, and he's the founder of the Sales Leadership Certificate, one of only 14 programs in the U.S. offering an accredited degree in the profession of selling. Drew also has his own top-ranked podcast called Sales Acceleration. He joined us by Skype from his office in St. Louis. Drew, welcome to the NAR Commercial Intelligence Briefing Podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Drew, you have an article on what you're calling the new norm in selling. What is the new norm? And I know we're not talking about Norm from Cheers.
That's very true. The new norm is actually two things. It's a two-dimensional process where it's really about creating customer-centered relationships, and it's all about value. There are too many folks that continually conduct business in a transactional way. Clients are much more keener in their thought processes today. They know what they want. They've done the research. So at this point, it's all about differentiation, and how the professionals today illustrate that differentiation is with value.
So many people are acting very transactionally when they're selling, and certainly real estate is one good example of transactional selling. What are some best practices for it, and how might someone make an easy transition?
The biggest thing is to end the rote processes such as cold calling and prospecting. The biggest things today are about third-party endorsements and referrals. It's the easiest way to obtain leads into your pipeline. That's number one. Number two is stop worrying about closing units. Everybody's concerned about how many properties and how many buildings and how many floors and so on and so forth down the line. Don't worry about that in as much as assisting the client and creating a good relationship with them. Don't worry about the initial close. Worry about the future, because you want to be able to develop a trusting and lasting relationship, which also means, by the way, that when you walk into some of these presentations, what you're really doing is you're selling it four times. Because if you really think about this, you're making the initial inquiry for a possible sale. So you're creating a relationship that way. But you're really trying to create three additional sales from that, because that person has three or four other contacts that they can provide you good referrals for future opportunities.
Now, you've mentioned value a couple of times already. What is value, and why do you think it's so important?
I'll describe it this way. It's about thinking about what the client is going to receive, the benefit that the client obviously obtains from conducting business with you and your product or service. There are too many today that are very, very focused on features. And when I say too many today, many sellers that are out there today focus on fact, focus on feature, and they focus on what's realistically called input. And what I mean by input is, this is what we do. This is what our organization does. This is how we do things. Typically, and I literally just got out of a consulting and training class just the other day, and I had said to the participants, tell me a little bit about your business. Well, we're a 100-year-old firm, and we have, you know, a 20% growth rate year by year. No one cares about that anymore. What the client cares about is what is something that they're going to receive from having done business with you. How does it benefit the client? That's what I mean by output.
I'm getting the impression, Drew, from what you're saying, that you have a strong desire for sellers to create some differentiation. What are some of the ways they can do that?
One of the biggest things, and you picked up on it very rightly so, is that you need to understand what to say before you say hello, which means that you have got to do a voracious amount of research before physically having a conversation with the client. As much as client are having research about you today, you need to have just as much research about the client, which means you need to know the industry, you need to know their organization, you need to know their competition, and become a peer of the buyer. And you will do that by conducting that proper research. The second is to ask good provocative questions, questions that are related to two things. Number one, objectives that the client would like to receive, and number two, the measurements for success. Too many ask the same rote questions. So what keeps you up at night? What would you like to achieve when we're all done? Those are questions that any rudimentary selling representative would ask. You want to ask questions by being a peer and having those questions really relate to what that person's trying to achieve and how they measure that success. And last but not least is then creating action steps. Every single thing that is done today has got to require some action. And if a seller today does not put action in any conversation that they're having, then it is no wonder why many people say they haven't signed the proposal, they haven't returned my phone call, they haven't done this, they haven't done that. Clearly because the seller has not provided the pathway to do so. You're the conductor of the band in that particular context. They take all direction from you, so you've got to create that directional flow.
Now, I'm also getting the impression that you think customer service is pretty vital to your overall selling methodology.
Oh, my heavens, yes. 54% of every single selling situation involves customer service. And what that means are a few things. Number one, you need to dress the part. You need to be professional in dress. You need to have a presence. And you need to be ready to engage with the client. Number two is return calls when you say you're going to return them. Don't look at caller ID. Don't ignore calls. Be there when you say you're going to be there. And kind of a more of an implication than anything else, but something that's very helpful. Send thank you cards. Get some personal stationery and thank the client when you meet with them and engage with them on a periodic basis. These are not one-time sales. They're there to be creating a long-lasting relationship, and you want to be different from the crowd, and customer service is that key to success.
Now, like many people who counsel others about sales techniques and sales methodologies, you have a formula that you promote that's called C2C. That's your acronym. What does it mean, and how does it aid real estate professionals?
C2C is simply this. It's customer-to-customer influences. We are in a world today where, because of information technology, the internet, the proliferation of information, the incredible and vast array of social networks, clients are talking about you. They're talking about the organization, and they have tremendous influence. Years ago, if you and I, Steve, were interested in finding a plumber, an attorney, a physician, we'd simply look it up in the yellow pages, and we didn't have to worry because we knew by title and by profession what that particular person did. However, today, if you or myself were in need of someone, let's say an uncle or an aunt were in need of a cardiologist, the first thing that we're going to do is we will pick up the phone, or we might email or text somebody and say, who do you know? What person would you be able to refer me to? Because here's the situation that I'm undertaking. And if you think about that in what we just spoke of with respect to customer service, your clients are talking about you, and they're talking about the good, the bad, and the indifferent. And so what you want to be able to do is manifest as much as possible, not only customer service, but manifest within your customer segment, because that creates brand, it creates cachet, and it creates allure. There is a reason why there are many real estate organizations that are out there today, and that's because their clients, constantly talk about them, whether it's Prudential, whether it's Century 21, and so on down the line. And that is because the customer-to-customer influences. Great example of this are two firms. One is Zappos. They're not in real estate, but one is Zappos. The other is Facebook. Both have grown immeasurably because of customer-to-customer influences. No advertising, no promotion, no press releases. It is the clients that have manifested the name, and the same can apply in the real estate community.
Drew, you know, as you and I both know, it's a very competitive world for people who are selling today. Are there some other techniques or tactics you can suggest that they could use to improve their selling results?
Three things, and I'll start generically here. With real estate professionals, they're no different than any other professional services business. And I will tell you right now that they need to be in the marketing business. They're forgetting titles and forgetting acquisition of properties and buying and selling. You are in the marketing business. And the more you market, the better off your brand is going to be and more cachet you will address. Number two is when I had mentioned earlier about ending rote procedures and processes, it's all about referrals. Stop the cold calling and stop the things that don't work. You know, at one time, black and white television and milk delivery at the home were innovative techniques. Cold calling is not an innovative technique anymore. And so in order to drive business, it's got to be done through third-party endorsements and with referrals. And last but not least, you need to network aggressively. The more you network, the more that you're out there. People get to see you. And you want to be able, and there's a connotation with this as well, Steve. When you network, you want to make sure that you're networking not with a peer group. You want to be networking where your economic buyers are, where your decision makers are. It's very, very easy if you're in commercial real estate to attend a Chamber of Commerce meeting, to attend a meeting where there are other real estate professionals. You want to be where your economic buyers are. So what I would suggest is get out of the comfort zone and attend places where your buyers will be attending. And I think with those three things, the marketing, the referral, and the networking, those are some of the keys to success, not only now, but for the next 3 to 5 years.
Now, when you mention networking, Drew, the thing that comes to my mind right away is the fact that today, any seminar that mentions the barest whisper of social networks and social media is a very well-attended seminar, and yet people still have a resistance to the idea that tools like Facebook and Twitter and blogs and podcasts like this could be useful to them. What do you have to say to people about social media?
If we think about where the world is today, we have multiple generations, we have multiple genders, we have multiple cultures. Everybody is learning and listening differently. Everybody is speaking differently. My goodness, we're on using technology just to have this interview here today. Things have altered. In fact, just before I conducted this interview today, somebody was asking me about how keynoting has changed and how training has changed, consulting, training, coaching. It is all morphed because of the world of social networking, as has marketing. Where I said earlier about how customer-to-customer influences are proliferating because of the use of social networks. Now, here's the thing about this. When we look at social networks, and this is a good example from a demographic that I speak with, and they had asked me the other day, you know, should we be throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, into social media? My first question to them was twofold. The first question was, where are your clients? They couldn't answer the question. I then said, if, in fact, for a moment, some of your demographic is using social media, what, in fact, are they using? Now, in this particular case, they couldn't answer either question. However, the same thing applies to this particular question. Where are your clients? I would suggest the fact, since we're talking about real estate here, that most individuals will be on something like a LinkedIn versus Facebook. There are 120 million individuals that are on LinkedIn today. The profile, the demographic profile, that is, suggests that 95% of those individuals are making $150,000 a year or more, working in a professional services firm or product-related firm, but these are business professionals. Facebook has 650 million users today worldwide, but is much more in tune with personalization. It is about people linking together, whether it's relatives, colleagues, friends, and there's less professional advice that's provided there. Now, there are some organizations, the Cokes, the Pepsis, the McDonald's, are all placing Facebook fan pages out there, but listen to the word, it's fan. It's not necessarily good, articulate dialogue on a professional issue. The same holds true for Twitter to a certain extent. You know, we're in a society today, and I'm still trying to find the allure for Twitter, but it's out there. In the fact that you might be able to send a text message that's under 140 characters. Now, in certain instances, you're able to send a message that then allows people to go to a particular website, and then that is yet another area to talk of, and that is blogging, and the ability to connect with others through a blog as a social media tool. What needs to be understood is a couple of things here. Number one is choose the medium where your demographics are. Number two, do not spend a whole lot of time on this. Because realistically, from the real estate perspective, you're looking to engage with economic buyers. Economic buyers are not going to be spending inordinate amount of time on social media. They'll be cognizant of it. They might read a few things, but they will not spend hours, days, weeks, months, as some of these folks do, reading and culling through the various sites. Number three, the best thing that I can say about social media is that it allows you to engage with a particular audience if you like. So as a good example, and in order of importance, what I tend to do is I blog 2 to 3 times a week. I utilize podcasts, I utilize vidcasts, and I write. Those articles then go into syndication. What that allows me to do, and any of your real estate network, our real estate network can do the same thing, is speak on a position of value. It might be interest rates, it might be governmental regulation, it might be neighborhood or regional issues. It doesn't matter what it is, but each real estate professional that's out there is a subject matter expert and has a level of expertise that they might be able to pontificate through a blog. Once it's on the blog, then it's real easy to connect to a LinkedIn or to Twitter and then announce to the world that you have just updated your blog and get it out there. That whole exercise, truly, if done 2 to 3 times a week, should take no more than 45 minutes to an hour. What that does is it allows you just to announce to the world who you are, and that will also help those customer-to-customer influences, might also help with networking. But I return to my original thought on this, and that is you have got to know your demographic before you do so. You've got to know what your value proposition is, and you've got to have intellectual firepower to get it out there.
Well, in the spirit of connecting people and linking people together, Drew, do you want to tell people how they can connect with you for more information and maybe some assistance?
Most certainly. First of all, my website, which is also my blog, is found at www.stevensconsultinggroup.com, and Stevens is with a V, and that's all together. So it's stevensconsultinggroup.com. They might also call me at 877-391-6821, or they can send me an email at drew@drewstevensconsulting.com. The other thing is I also offer a 20-minute business acceleration session. So if any of the things that we are talking about today are of a hindrance or a burden to somebody and they're needing to get more articulate in that particular area, we'll spend 20 minutes on the phone and we'll help right the ship, as it were, and help accelerate their business.
Well, sounds terrific, Drew, and thanks very much for joining us today on the NAR Commercial Intelligence Briefing Podcast.
Thank you again for having me, and I look forward to be back again and returning and offering additional advice.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of the Commercial Intelligence Briefing Podcast from the Commercial Division of the National Association of Realtors. Join us again for another program in this series, and until then, this is Steve Lubetkin. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.